Sometimes people sharing their experience help, and then sometimes God may lead us very differently than he led somebody else. But we can hear things that are helpful to us as people share what God has done for them, as we heard tonight already. I marvel at the way the Lord got me into the ministry, because I was in your situation also as a young person, not knowing what God wanted for my life. I did not know that I was called to full-time ministry in the sense that I serve God now, pastor it, and so on. And as a teenager, I had a lot of interests. Music was one of them. And I had ideas as to how to pursue those interests. I thought if God gave me any measure of talent, surely he wants me to use it. And so this may be part of God's plan for my life. And so I began to consider moving in a certain direction. But at that time in my life, the Lord was making himself very precious to me. And I began to pray about the will of God, just as we've been talking about tonight. Lord, I want your will. Show me. I was taught to do that. I was encouraged by my ministers. I was encouraged by my parents, and I know they were praying for me as well. Get your will done in all of our children. Lead them. Guide them. God heard that prayer. Even when I didn't realize that God was answering, he was answering. He began to open doors for me. And what I mean by that is opportunities began to present themselves that that just God brought into my life. I was considering going to Suffolk Community College, at least get started there. And I had registered. And before the fall semester began, my father said, "Oh, by the way, Kenny, I found out about a little Bible school in Oyster Bay, that's out on Long Island, little institute. Maybe you'd like to see it." Now, I don't know if my parents had some sense that God was leading me in that direction, or that was what he wanted from me, but my dad just took me to see that little Bible school, and it was a dumpy school. It wasn't anything impressive at all, but I thought, you know, I could put off college for a year and learn the Bible. I love Jesus. I'm excited about his word. And here's an opportunity to that I may never have again, to take Bible courses and so on. And so that was my thought, that I would go there for maybe a year and then get back to my college career or music career or whatever. And then 1 year turned into 2 years. After I completed my first year, I thought, well, I'd like to go back again. I've been enjoying this. It's been a blessing to me. And so I went the second year. Well, after the second year, I thought, I didn't really feel that I was called to ministry. The kids in Bible school were talking about their call and their call to preach. Others were called to be missionaries. And I didn't have any strong conviction along any line. So I was praying and thinking about what I should do now. The school was having some administration problems, and so I didn't know if I wanted to stay there much longer. And right about that time, my father said, "Oh, by the way, Ken, I found out that their brother Gardner is moving up to Pilgrim Camp, and they want some young men to move up there, spend the year with them, seeking the will of God. They can take care of the grounds and the buildings while they're up there in the winter, because the caretaker is retiring." And he said, "Maybe you want to talk to Brother Gordon about that." Well, I was afraid of Brother Gordon. He was very holy, and I wasn't. Let's put it that way. But I remember being up here as a guest, and I was sitting in the dining room, and I got up my nerve to at least ask. So I went over to Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline, and they knew that I had gone to Bible school, and I said, I understand you're moving up here in the winter, and I was wondering if there'd be a chance of me, you know, coming up here for the year. And they both laughed. That's not for you. You're a Bible school man. This is nothing like Bible school. And I don't know. I said, well, I'd still be very interested. And I was impressed with the fact that I was able to speak. They said, well, you pray about it. And I'll give you a call in a couple of weeks and tell me what the Lord showed you. Well, I didn't know anything about the Lord showing me anything. How does God show you things? But I figured I'll give it a try. So I went home and I prayed and prayed, Lord, show me what to do. If this is your will, you know. And then Brother Gardner called me. So what did the Lord tell you or show you? I don't really know, Brother Gordon. I don't know. I didn't hear anything, but I'm still inclined to go if the opportunity is there. Okay, well, you keep praying and we'll keep praying. And then I went through the torture for another week or two of trying to hear God's voice, reading the Bible, probably doing this, you know. Brother Gardner called again, a dreaded call. So what did the Lord show you? I said, well, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I'd like to come if you'll have me. That's really all I can say. And he said, well, we've been praying and we feel that, you know, we should have you come and join us. And it's going to be a lot of work. You're going to have to mow lawns. You know how to mow a lawn, and you know how they tried to paint the darkest picture and make me, you know, scare me away, I guess, but it didn't work. So I came. I remember the day I drove Brother Gordon up. I met him at a funeral. That's a good start, right? He said, I'm performing a funeral, so meet me there, and then you can drive me up to camp. So I went to this funeral, and then in my little sports car, my Carmen, Carmen Ghia or something. No, it was an Opel GT. And I was amazed that Brother Gordon could fit in his seat, and I was in mine with the luggage in the back, and we drove off. That was a long drive. It's a long drive anyway, but with Brother Gardner in the car, it was really long. And he started telling me things like, he told me the whole history of Hutchinson River Parkway and who Mary Hutchinson was and how she got killed by the Indians. It was really exciting. And then he said, I'm going to sleep now, just stare in this road, and when you get to the top, wake me up. So we got to camp. It was just me and one other fellow that was part of the program the first year. And I remember they gave me a little supper, and then I went to my room, closed the door, and then I thought, what in the world did I do? I have committed myself for a year. I don't know these people. I'm missing my family already. You know, it really, that night was a tough night. But I wanted to stick it out. I made a commitment, and I felt God was in it, and best I understood. Well, I stayed that year, and God met me in a wonderful way. The opportunities to seek God, the things I learned, and then found out that the Gardeners were going to stay on, and we were welcome to stay on as well, if we felt the Lord wanted us to. And so I thought, well, another year would be good. And so I stayed on another year. Brother Tom joined us and some others. And as time went on throughout that year, I began to feel like this is where God wanted me and this is what God wanted for my life. And when my friend Bowie Curry was asked to go and help in the church in Virginia, a couple months later, because Bowie and I had head counsel together, they asked me if I would go and join him. Pastor Andrews had died. There's a lot of death in this story, I'm noticing. Pastor Andrews had died, and so now Bowie was left with the church, and so they didn't want him to be alone, so they asked if I would consider going to Virginia and working with Brother Bowie. So I was here at camp for about 2.5 years, then I moved down to Fredericksburg, Virginia, to my first church, and there I worked particularly with young people, and I was there for about 2.5 years. Well, I'm not here to tell you my whole life story, but God made me to know, and then God began to bless and confirm and give me the grace that I needed, and just made me to know that he was putting me in the place that he wanted for me. It's very different than I had imagined for myself, but I saw that it was God's doing. that he had closed doors and he had opened doors and he had given me the inclination to enter, and then he worked as I did. Now, I don't know that I expect God to lead everybody in exactly that same way, but I think those principles apply. You know, as we seek Jesus and we want to get to know him and we want to get to know his word and we learn to love him, and God will bring opportunities into our life as we pray for the will of God. And he'll show us what doors to go through. Some opportunities will come and you won't feel inclined to go through. Well, then don't. Maybe you'll try some things and they won't work out. Well, that could be God closing the door. You know, we're not really in a place to understand all of God's working and all of these things. But the thing that I'm trying to convey tonight is that Jesus knows how to lead us. He's the shepherd. He doesn't expect the sheep to lead themselves. He leads the sheep. And we're his sheep. And we have to trust him to lead us. And all we're called upon to do is follow. Follow where he leads. One verse that became very precious to me while I was up at camp was, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. That where I am, there shall my servant also be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And I remember before the call of God became especially clear to me, I thought, well, Lord, I can do that. I can follow you. And if I follow you, then I'll be where you want me to be when you want me to be there. You'll take me there if I'll make it my business to seek you and draw close to you and follow you. Following Jesus, as we heard, means following his word. Doing the things that God makes real to us and clear to us in the word, like rejoicing. Learn to rejoice. Learn to get over your feelings and to rejoice in the Lord. That will contribute to God working out his will in your life. Learn to be thankful in everything. Give thanks, as we heard. Learn to pray and to open your soul to God and keep in touch with him all the time, and so on. And these things are clear to us in the Bible. And if we do what the Bible says, then God will take care of the things that are not clear to us. But if we ignore those things, then we put ourselves in a position where we can get confused, easily confused, and get off track. And so I like to tell that story once in a while, or I'm led to tell that story, because I think it's helpful, as these other testimonies have been. Seek God's will. Follow Jesus, determined to follow him as closely as you can. Seek first his kingdom, the reign of Jesus Christ in your life, above everything else. And then he promises he'll take care of everything, every aspect of his will for you. He'll work it out. There have been times when I've gotten out of God's will. I know I've made mistakes. I've made poor choices. But God, in his great mercy, he overrode all that. And he got me back to where he wanted me to be. I think everyone would say that. We're not led perfectly, particularly when we first start out, and we make some wrong choices, but we don't have to be afraid. I remember I was making a very serious wrong choice, and trying to convince myself this is what God's will was, and it really wasn't. I remember telling somebody, I really think this is what God wants for me. And while I was telling him, I was crying. I was Brother Fetty down in Virginia. And Brother Fetty said, "Yes, you're very convincing. I can see that you have real peace about this," or something, in his kind of dry sense of humor. But it was obvious. It took me a little time to be honest with myself. And I didn't want to accept certain things. But I knew I had no peace. God would not let me move in this direction. He put up a roadblock. He took my peace away. He withdrew his blessing from me. And And I just got so desperate that nothing else mattered but getting back to God, getting back into His will. The thing that was so important to me became secondary. My relationship with Jesus became more important. I had to get back into that right place with God. And in doing that, in seeking Him that way, He began to redirect my life and get me back into His will. And so when I look back over my life, I say, you know, I don't know how to be led, but He knows how to lead me. And I've learned to stop trusting in my assessment of things, my ability, and I'm learning to trust Him. Jesus, I'm yours. You have the right to do with me whatever you choose. And Lord, I want your will. Deep down, I want your will more than my own. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you to work it out. And we find often that God is leading us even when we don't realize it. And there are so many stories in the Bible that confirm that. You read the story of Joseph. God was leading. God was getting Joseph where he wanted him to be. Do you think Joseph knew that at the time? Did it seem to Joseph that God's hand was in this and God was leading? There were many times when it seemed like God had forgotten him. But we see that God didn't at all. Not for a moment. We think of others like Moses, 40 years tending his father and lost sheep. God forgot him. He messed up. He missed the call of God, settling for second best. But God was preparing him. God was working in him. And when the time came, God visited him and moved him in the direction that he needed to be. And there are so many like that. Queen Esther, we heard about her the other day, when she was taken from her home and put through that rigmarole to present herself to the king. I'm sure it wasn't something that she wanted, perhaps, to be torn away from her family and to be brought into the palace and to have to undergo the scrutiny and so on. But God was in that. God was in that every step of the way. And as we look back, often we look back at things in our life and we say, wow, look how God used that. I wouldn't be here today if that didn't happen, or if I didn't meet that person, or if these circumstances weren't such. And at the time, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't like what was happening. I even tried to get out of it. But now looking back, I see God's hand was in that. And so it's better for me to believe that He is leading me. If I'm praying for the will of God, then God is answering that prayer. And there are times when I have to say, Lord, I believe that you're leading. I believe that you're getting your will done in me. Doesn't look like it, but I belong to you. I'm precious in your sight. And you are getting your will done. You promised you would do that. And so I'm just going to trust you. And there are times we just have to go do what's natural and just trust God. Trust that God is doing something, doing more than we realize. There are other times when it's rather exciting and we can see God's hand. It's very obvious that, you know, wonderful things are happening and God is blessing and arranging things for us. But it's not always that way. It's like the light and the dark that we were experiencing before. Sometimes it's light and sometimes it's dark, but Jesus is our light. And so we keep our eyes on Him. Praise God. And so these things that we've been hearing tonight, they're good for us to hear. And there's always a time at Pilgrim Camp where we talk about the will of God, I think, in every period. Because God knows that our young people, teenagers, it's a time in your life when there's so many decisions. It seems overwhelming. How do you decide what you're going to be for the rest of your life already? And you're having trouble deciding what clothes to wear, right? But God wants you to know that if you want His will, then you can trust Him. And He will. He'll work it out in your life day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And of course, we're still trusting God to get his will done in our lives. You didn't find it when you were young and now you're set for life. You have to lean on him. You have to stay close to him. You have to keep trusting him. I don't know what God has for me in the future. Things we're praying about and things come into our life. And you say, wow, I never expected this. God must have something in mind to let this happen. At least we know that much. And so the things that we're sharing with you tonight, we're still applying to ourselves. You never learn these things per se, where in the sense that you don't need God anymore, you don't need his help, you've learned how to do it. No, if you learn anything, you learn that you can't do it, but you have to trust him to do it all. And if we learn that lesson and we maintain that in our lives, then we're in a good place. We're in a very good place. And so let's commit ourselves to God. Some of you here tonight, all of us here, just commit yourself to God. God wants to relieve that burden, take away that fear and all the stress and strain that goes along with trying to figure all this out. Give yourself to God and then do what comes natural, what makes sense, what's according to his word. And just trust that he is overseeing everything. Praise God. He's got things prepared for you, and he's preparing you for those things. That's why it's so good in every meeting to open your soul to God. I'll just say this too. One time I was in a meeting here at camp, and Brother Gardner spoke about a certain subject. The Lord led that way. And then he began to lay hands on the different young men and others that were there. And when he and his wife, Sister Caroline, laid hands on me, he began to speak to me, seemingly general things. And then he said, I believe God is putting something into you right now to help you. And when he said that, I just suddenly broke down and cried. It wasn't an emotional response. It wasn't something I had planned on doing, but I just broke down and cried as though God opened me up, slipped something in, and closed me up again. I felt that way. Well, I went back to my room, and I wrote down what I remembered that they said. You know, the Lord, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I thought I would pray about that and think about that. And I had some ideas as to what it may have meant. Years later, I find myself in a situation, that situation I was talking about, where I thought this was God's will and I just couldn't get peace. And I remembered that the Lord spoke to me about this subject, and so I dug out my book and I found the page, and the wording was so perfectly tailored to my need at that time that gave me the courage and the strength that I needed to believe God to get me out of this and get me back into his will. Something that appeared so general to me back then, the very words that were used were perfect for my situation. And I thought, God, you saw that I was going to make this mistake a year or two ago. And in your great mercy, you did something in my soul to prepare me and to get me through. And I wouldn't be here today if I don't mean I'd be dead. I don't know. But I wouldn't be standing behind this pulpit at Pilgrim Camp tonight if I would have pursued that thing, if God would have let me pursue it. I would have gone in a different direction. I'm sure still serve God, but it would have been very different. And I thought, my, I need to be open in every meeting because God may be doing things to prepare me for what's ahead that I know nothing about. And that's why these Holy Ghost meetings, and we say that reverently, we want these to be meetings led by the Holy Ghost, and he knows what he has to work with, and he does beyond that for sure. But if we really let God have his way, if we really listen for his word, if we really seek him earnestly and give him a chance, God will do things for us not only for now, not only for tomorrow, but maybe for a year from now. And you'll be so glad that you were in that meeting and that you reached out to God and you gave him time to work and you didn't miss it. And then we think on the other side of the coin, what if I don't? What am I missing when I don't open up to God? What am I missing when I don't wait upon the Lord? When I don't take the things of God seriously and really give myself to him? Well, we don't have to miss anything. And I trust that we're not. And so, we want to thank God. What a shepherd. What a wonderful shepherd we have. Whatever mistakes you made in the past, Jesus has a way of taking those things when we give them to him and making something beautiful out of our lives. We never have to settle for second best. If the clay is marred in the potter's hand, well, then he can make a different vessel that's just as beautiful, just as useful to him, and brings him just as much glory. Praise God. Amen. Talk to the Lord about his will in your life. Ask him to help you to take it more seriously and to want his will more than anything else. If you don't feel that way, God can make you to want his will more than anything else. And then ask God for faith to help you to believe that he is able, willing, and that he is leading. He is guiding more than we realize. He's leading us in paths of righteousness, not just for you, but for his name's sake, for his glory. He created us for his glory, and he is determined to be glorified in all of our lives. Praise God. Lord, we believe that you're going before us, even now, Lord. You know when we're going to leave camp and where we're going, what homes we're going back to, and what schools, what situations. And Lord, we believe that you're going before us. You go before your sheep. You prepare the way. You have things prepared for us along the way, and you're wanting to get us ready for those things. People in our lives, opportunities that will come. Lord, we thank you. Experiences with God himself that are waiting for us as we walk with you. Oh Lord, we thank you. We believe you. We praise you for what you're doing, Lord. You are our shield and you are our exceeding great reward. You go before. You stand behind us. You surround us. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Number 358, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
Praise God. Let's offer that to him tonight. 3:5:8. Let's stand together. You've been sitting a while. It may help us to
concentrate better, right? Take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, only, all for thee. Praise God. Now, we didn't really open the Bible tonight, but we did quote some verses, didn't we? John 12:26, I believe it is, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. I just want to mention this. I was thinking about Jesus in Cana of Galilee at the wedding. Now, that's an interesting story. And what particularly interests me is that Mary seemed to have a sense that God wanted Jesus to do something. Up to this point, Mary is rather quiet, right? She's pondering everything in her heart. And now she tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Jesus, they're out of wine. And he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, you have to understand the culture. He wasn't being disrespectful, I'm sure. And, you know, when he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You think, you know, he's not going to turn water into wine. But he does. And I thought, how interesting. Did Jesus take the advice of his mother? I mean, he's the Son of God. And I'm sure it was more than that. He wouldn't have just done it because Mary told him to. Wouldn't have showed forth his glory and performed his first miracle because mom said so. But somehow God used Mary in some way, and Jesus recognized that. And I'm sure he looked to his father, and he went ahead, and she was right. He did. He took care of the matter. And the Bible says, and in this way, Jesus showed forth his glory. And so you should listen to your parents, even when you're 30 years old or 57. I ended up where I was because my mom and dad told me about the Bible school, told me about Pilgrim Camp. I had to get light from God, but they pointed me in the right direction. And we need one another to help us, and we need to be open to each other's help. Don't let anybody tell you what God's will is for you. If they do, then pray about it. And don't do anything until Jesus shows you that's what he wants. But when someone loves you like your parents do and have invested so much in you and know you as well as they do, and not just parents, there are others in our life like that, we owe it to them to consider what they're saying, because it's coming from a heart of love. And God, through hearts of love, does wonderful things. And so when your parents try to advise you, or someone who you know loves you and is genuinely concerned about you, some godly person, prayerfully consider what they say and then do whatever Jesus tells you. Okay? Let's sing that last verse that I quoted to you. Take my love, right?
Take my love, my love.
Opportunity to wait on the Lord yet, if you'd like to. I know that our staff has worked hard this week, and if you need to get to bed, go to bed. But go to bed and think about these things. While you're lying on your bed, talk to Jesus about them. Let him minister to you throughout the night. Don't lose what God has done for you tonight. Praise God. Let's just look to him yet. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Someone inclined to pray, just be open to him. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time that we've had together. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in us, even we don't realize it, Lord, that you're working behind the scenes. We're going to do something amazing in each and every one of our lives, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you please be with us as we go to our rooms, Lord. Please let us sense your presence and your peace, Lord, that even if we don't know why certain things are happening in our lives or why this situation is occurring, that you're still working and that you're going to get your perfect will done.
Amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.